to raise chair, and I think it's going to be very important that we get a definite response on that, because the way we are going to be formulating the recommendations will have to pronounce itself very clearly on the status of the MOI, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Honourable Walter.
Chair, just considering what's been said and given the time frames, and I think we're going to be under a lot more pressure than we think, actually. We are scheduled to sit on Friday. Is there any reason why we can't sit on Friday? I mean, it's scheduled. We've been given notice of it. And we could start dealing with the submissions that we got last week and the week before, you know, to save time. I hear what Honourable Killian's saying, Sandy. But I do think the recommendations are going to take a lot longer than what we anticipate. We're going to have differences of opinion when we get to them. So I do think we need to have, if I may speak, Chair, thank you very much. So I do think we need to set aside ample time for the recommendations. Thank you.
All right, let me try and summarize. Members seem to be suggesting that meeting scheduled for Wednesday be canned. The first proposal was that we start on Tuesday, and the understanding was that the 16th is Thursday, and people have until 5 o'clock. We still have to do the collating, putting together, doing the research kind of thing that Singh was talking about, so that we have a meaningful discussion on Monday, on Tuesday or stroke Monday. That was the rationale. Comrade Waters is suggesting, Honourable Waters, I beg your pardon. Honourable Waters is suggesting that we should consider using Friday for the three or four that we have, because there's already been some work done on those three or four. That's the suggestion that Honourable Waters is, or the amendment that he's making to the proposal. Now, I'm looking at Singh, who suggested the process. That's why I'm looking at you, sir, because it conflicts basically on those two. And I'm looking at Cindy, because Cindy, I want to remind members again, let us be humane. If we get a document at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, I don't know what the deadline is, somebody needs to work after hours for us to be ready at 8 the next morning. So I'm saying in all our proposals, let us just be humane on that one, because we're not even sure in what format those responses will come. But I am open to any proposal. So I'm hoping that then, I don't want to open up for a reprocess, because remember Singh had said we must also discuss the process. Let me just discuss this process and we go on. Honourable Singh, you would see, and I think it was Waters or somebody, we'd already started doing what you were saying. Might not be in detail, but we had started in receiving responses, trying to uplift what was important for members to decide whether they want to incorporate that in the report. So we had started that process. The only thing we hadn't done was the legal part of it. In terms of the other two points that you raised, I'm not sure if Honourable Khoza covered it, but basically, in his response, Mr. Foxton wrote back to us, saying to us, he wants to correct the RAND value. We wrote to him and said to him, please give us the contract, because at least we're working on a concrete document. He then responded by saying that contract we should request from SABC. We've written to SABC to request it. So that is the letter we're talking about, and we're hoping that you will condone it. It was all in the process of ensuring that we do real work as opposed to thinking. So that's the Foxton matter, Honourable Swartz. The other one you raised was to the PC. In the response that we received from Mr. Mateza, or in correspondence with Mr. Mateza, he raised an issue about the funding of these legal challenges that take place, and indicated that as his understanding, there is some insurance policy that addresses this matter. So we've written to the portfolio committee saying, this is hearsay, for want of a better word, and I say it with all the respect, can the portfolio committee confirm it, so that when we deal with this matter, that partly what you were raising, Honorable Masango, that we have some documents. So that was really the letter, asking the portfolio committee if they are aware of any policy that talks to funding of litigation costs. That was what the letter was written. Is there any policy in place? Because it has a material impact on our own recommendations that talk to people that must pay out of their pocket. And we are hoping if it needs to be formally ratified, then you can either ratify them. But those two letters have in fact gone out. One asking, is there a policy on to cover costs? The second one was to the SABC asking them to, by the end of today, I think, submit the contract of Foxton, so that when we talk to that matter, we have a formal contract in front of us. I'm hoping that was not overstepping the mark, Honorable Swartz. Honorable Singh. Those are the two letters that we wrote. All now that we need to talk about is how do we factor Honorable Waters' request for the need for Friday. If that still stands, Honorable Waters, the need for Friday. What do members say? Friday. Let's take Swart and then take Chauke and then take Mukwena and then we close this matter. Then we go to other matters and carry on. What do we do about Friday, or do we stick to the Monday proposal? Singh, Chauke, and Mukwena.
I thought you were referring to me, Chair, but you said Swart. Okay, thanks. No, Chair, I still stand by my proposal because I don't believe we should meet for the sake of meeting. You know, in this document here, which I referred to, there are certain recommendations by the research team, which we have to take cognizance of, agree with or disagree with. Some you've already actioned, and we give you ex post facto approval for those actions that you've taken. Right? We've got other work to do as well. There's a finance committee meeting on Friday, Parliament Finance Committee, which Honorable Waters is on that. So I don't think here we should just meet for the sake of meeting. Let's meet when we have all the facts, we have the research team having gone through what A says and what B says, and provide evidence to us that what A said is what was said under oath during the hearing, and what B says now was not said under oath. So we can assess for ourselves who is speaking the truth, or which information is more reliable. So I would still say, let's stick. I can agree with the idea that possibly we can get permission from the presiding officers that on Tuesday afternoon, when the House is sitting, and if there's no voting, we continue working until late at night, if possible, and do the same on Wednesday. Well, Wednesday we can't, because we have to listen to the budget. Yeah, on Thursday we can. So that would be my proposal, Chair.
Chair, I want to agree with Mr. Singh, Honorable Singh, because the point that is raised by Mr. Waters, you have sort of covered the work that is before the committee. And in his input, by the way, when he started the meeting, he questioned why we meet for the sake of, there was no reason for us to meet. But it's clear that we don't have much information. So what we need to do, Chair, is to allow this process to continue. Allow you to collect as much information as possible, those who must respond. Let's meet next week. I want to agree with what the Honorable Singh has proposed. So I think we leave it there, because we cannot, chop and change. And there's no information now. The information that is before the committee is perilous, and we have explained the kind of information that is before us and the work that we have done on this information. So let's agree that we meet next week. We'll make enough time if we're to meet until late, let's be so sure. Thank you.
Honorable Gwen.
No, thanks, Chair. I was going to suggest that, I agree that working immediately the day after the 16th might be a bit of a problem. But can I then suggest that depending on the amount of information that we want to get, that we start working on the support team start working on a working document, so that on Monday, Tuesday, whenever it is that we meet, we have a working document that we can work with. I think it might lessen the load of work and push us a little quicker towards the recommendations, which is quite an important. Thanks, Jim.
The final decision, therefore, is that we will resume on Tuesday morning if we get permission from the presiding officers and the volume dictates. We could request Monday afternoon. We would request Tuesday afternoon if there's a sitting. Same on Thursday, and we will work on Friday. Friday we have to complete because the Monday thereafter is the 27th and Tuesday is the deadline. So we're going to, in trying to satisfy all members, we're going to push for as many hours as possible and permissible. That's going to be what we're going to do starting from Monday. So for the record, there will be no meeting tomorrow as scheduled, no meeting on Friday as scheduled. We will resume on Tuesday for the schedule and on Monday if given permission. In the interim, as we receive submissions, we will try through, and I'm hoping the research support is here, they are here, we will try and out of those responses continue doing what we are doing so that members have an indication of the issues that have been raised from those submissions and whatever recommendations you propose the committee considers as the research team. That document will be submitted together with all the submissions at close of business on Friday, Monday? Okay, documents on Friday, because documents we'll give you as we receive them. And then Monday, you will receive this document that you referred to, Mr. Singh, the research document. So in terms of process, besides the point you raised, Honorable Swart, we're going to ask Hatikari to talk to that. In terms of process, broadly, are we comfortable with that approach, Honorable Members? If we are, that's fine. Hatikari, you just want to talk to that point before we go to any other business.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. Yes, as Mr. Singh alluded, the practical examination. Mr. Singh, I agree with Mr. Singh's submission earlier that the examination of the evidence is basically what this committee will be seized with. The hearing of this nature requires not beyond reasonable doubt, but on a balance of probability. So it's basically a weighing up of evidence. So as Mr. Singh says, one has to look at the evidence, and if there's corroboration, either extraneously or, for example, email trails or something else that supports a certain version, then that version will obviously have preference. Where there's no corroboration either way, then either in terms of the oral evidence or the other written or documented evidence, the committee must make an assessment as to what is the most probable or more probable version, if there are only two versions, and find a view that in the context is probably more probable. For example, where there's clear evidence that a witness has given untruthful evidence, for example, and other evidence of that witness is not corroborated but contradicts another witness's evidence, who was a witness who was clearly very credible, then that more credible witnesses' evidence can be preferred. So it's that kind of practical assessment of the evidence so that the committee can assess what is more probable.
Thank you. And as usual, as you go along, if there's other things that you consider, we'll always allow you to advise us, because that's your role, to advise us by the time we get there. So that is the initial view of legal, honourable members. And I'm hoping that we then close the first agenda item. Happiness? Thank you. Let's allow you then on any other business. But before we allow you, is there anybody else to talk on any other business? I've noted Masangu. Anybody? Masangu, Honourable Singh, Honourable Mukwena. Three. I've noted Masangu, Singh, and Mukwena, and after that we're going to close if it's not going to lead to debate, and then we should finish our business. Happiness? Thank you very much, Honourable Masangu.
No, Chair, the issue that I felt one needs to reflect on, and possibly the committee to express its view on, is the action which I think is blameworthy taken by the SABC, whoever else took that decision at the SABC, to challenge the court decision. You remember that when we dealt with the program of this committee, there were certain queries that were raised, and I think one of the members even raised some concerns in the committee, and we dealt with the matter adequately with regards to the decision of the Western Cape Court late last year. Now, we then learned that the SABC took a decision to challenge that court. We are all aware that there is no board currently at the SABC, and one would naturally assume that that decision to challenge the court would have been taken by the board and no one else would have been authorized. Now, that matter, Chair, raises very, very serious concern as to actually what is happening at the SABC, what are we dealing with in that space, and a need for us to seriously look at how we are going to respond, and perhaps when we take our decisions, really make sure that we take very serious decisions on this question, because there's a question of accountability that kicks in, which one would think would not have occurred. But earlier on, my colleague makes the point, which I was going to raise, that is it because of the MOI that is in place, which was not processed adequately? Is it the document that's allowing SABC to run amok in the manner in which they do? I mean, those are the concerns. But, Chair, one would, at some point, I don't know when we could make that view and decision. You reflected on it earlier on that I think it is time that the public entities of either Parliament takes a decision, or as we enact law, we make that explicit and clear that when people take reckless decisions, then like the one that we just referred to, that those people actually should pay out of their own pockets. Because surely we cannot allow a situation where public funds are just used by people who are employed by the state recklessly. Also taking into account that as we're going through this process, the officials of SABC have been part of this meeting. They know the heartbeat of this committee about a range of things. But if they go out of here and do exactly the things that we are reflecting to, I mean, these things have been very topical. Parliament has taken a view. We have made a reflection. Actually, the country has made its reflection on the matter. And they go out and do exactly the things that we are trying to bring to an end. It actually tells us a bigger story. And my view, Chair, is that I think there are a few decisions we may want to take. But if indeed the MOU is the one that's creating problems, perhaps we may need to find a way of getting a declaratory order on the legality of that document. But like I said, I think it is time that people pay out of the pockets. I think those are the issues that I felt I would like to to place on record in this discussion.
Honourable Singh?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to follow in the same vein as Honourable Senator Mashlangu. We sat in this building in 1994 in the Senate. But before I do that, I think there's one item which we don't have a direct say or influence on, but it is of interest to us as this ad hoc committee, and that is the appointment or the process for the appointment of the interim board. And I think we need to be apprised of how far has that process gone, because it does to some extent influence what we are going to be saying or doing when our recommendations come. I know I raised this matter at the Chief Whip's forum last week, not the week before, where I said I didn't think that the Chief Whip's forum had anything to do. We had no locus standi on the appointment of the members or recommendation, and it was agreed that that will be the case. It's referred back to the Communications Committee. So that's the one matter I think that we need to receive a briefing on at some stage. The second matter, Chairperson, is in the same vein as Honourable Mashlangu, is that, you know, whilst we are dealing with all the issues here, there seems to be no good faith, quote-unquote, from certain members of the SABC. Now, for example, the spokesperson of the SABC, I had the article last week and his exact quotes, but I didn't carry it today, where he said, you know, this 80-20 and policy changes and all that, that we're not going to change any of that. Doesn't matter who made that policy shift or recommended it. We are not going to change it. And I don't think that is good faith. And they need to be reminded that that is one of the issues that's falling within the purview of the recommendations that we are going to be making to Parliament. So I just think the SABC, whoever is there now, need to be told that please act in good faith, because we're certainly acting in good faith, and don't treat this committee with contempt. Let's come up with proposals, and we can debate it later on with them. But for now, just hold your horses on making statements that would go directly against the grain of some of the recommendations that we may make, particularly in reference to the policy of local content, etc. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mukwena, followed by Chauke and Van Dam, and I'm hoping we'll close the matter there.
No, thanks, Chair. I'm largely covered. I just wanted to make a further recommendation. What we should then do is to recommend to the Minister, who is the shareholder representative, to ask Mr. Aguma in particular and Mr. what's his name, the spokesperson, Khanyaho, right, that they should explain themselves why they, when there is an inquiry that is in process, why do they go and make such terrible decisions on behalf of the SABC? Are they doing it with her permission? And if not, then they must explain, both to her and to Parliament, so that we have an understanding of what we're dealing with. And I think this is a process that cannot wait for the recommendations, because it's a process that will inform the recommendations. So I would strongly suggest that they must write to us before Friday and explain their actions. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Chauke, followed by Van Dam.
No, Chair, the point that is raised by Honourable Mashlangu, I think it's a very important point. And I think what we should do, Chair, in our approach will be to engage the day-to-day, you know, oversight work of SAPC done by the Portfolio Committee of Communications. In fact, I want to support what the Honourable Mukwena has proposed, but just to say that there's a need that we bring to the attention of the Portfolio Committee these issues. But they're the ones, in fact, who will call the Minister. They're the ones who will call the SAPC. I mean, the issue of the SAPC going to court, I think it was covered in the newspapers before. And the committee is supposed to have acted from that point. We'll have to make a stop on that thing from that point. That's the power of the committee. So when the Portfolio Committee fails to discharge its duties, then it becomes a problem. because we are now going to find ourselves even now to deal with the day-to-day running of SABC, and it's not our mandate. So I'm going to propose that, Chair, yourself as the chair of this ad hoc committee, you interact with the chairperson of the portfolio committee, raise our concerns around these issues, and say that we are not happy about the following things. It's not only that, by the way. There are issues of contracts that are happening fraudulently in the SABC. As we speak now, there's information around fraudulent activities that are continuing. We'll be sharing that with the portfolio committee chairperson at some point. So I'm saying that we need to bring this to the attention of the portfolio committee, and it must, in fact, call for accountability on this issue. You know, so I think that's how we should do it, Chair. And we have to build a strong relationship between ourselves and the portfolio committee, because part of the recommendations that we're going to make have to be implemented by, overseen by that portfolio committee to make sure that those recommendations are implemented. So it's important that we start from now. I mean, the fact that the so-called executive at the SABC just undermined this process. It's a clear demonstration of we don't care. But I want to make it very clear that action will be taken. That time will come. We are committed to make sure that, you know, we clean up SABC. We're going to help to clean it up. And those that are going to be found at some point will definitely have to call it the police to be arrested. There's no other way. We're not going to be played by, you know, people who think that they are in charge there. They can make statements, as Mr. Singh says, and will keep quiet. You know, this parliament is not going to allow that thing to happen. In fact, that's why we are saying escalate it. If need be, we'll invite the entire portfolio committee to come and engage with us here and call that SABC to come and account. Mm-hmm. You know, so we cannot. We're not going to allow this thing to happen. Thank you.
You'll be the very last man, Fanda.
Thanks, Chair. I'd just like to caution against us overextending ourselves and dealing with matters that the Communications Portfolio Committee needs to deal with. It's really way past overdue for the committee to pull up its socks and start doing its work. The issue of the appeal of the court case, I know the committee chairperson expressed himself, and I hope then that will mean that Minister Mutambi will be called to Parliament and explain why that matter was appealed. As we speak, the appointment of the interim board hasn't even been scheduled. It's a pity I couldn't be at the committee today, but my colleague in that committee is going to raise that issue, and it's really time for that committee to do its work. And I don't think we should step into that realm. The whippery of Parliament then needs to come in, and that committee needs to do its work. I do, however, think that issue that you just, that story in the Times about all those contracts that were signed around Christmas time, I think that is an issue that we must deal with, because it was happening during the inquiry, and it speaks to that disrespect that Honourable Singh was speaking about, where they don't, it's contemptuous. They really do not consider Parliament as a body to respect. So I think that needs to be dealt with, but certainly a conversation can happen with you, Chair, and the Chairperson of the Communications Committee. It's really, really time for that committee to start doing its work.
All right. Let's summarize by saying, and it's good that members exhaled on this matter. We will, in trying to capture everything else, write formally to the chair of the portfolio committee saying these are the concerns raised in today's meeting, without appearing to be a super committee, as Mem Van Dam is saying, because that's really outside of our realm, that they do their oversight, as honourable members are talking about, whether it's the board, whether it's the minister, whether it's the executive. So we will write that letter, raising the concerns of members. And of course, when we get to recommendations, Mem Van Dam and other members, matters that have a direct impact on what we're doing, on the basis of the responses that we receive, we will reflect on and take a final decision on. So, yeah, we're not going to ask any committee to come and sit with us and together interrogate what is a responsibility of theirs. We will just raise it so that members are very clear that we're not going to step into the realm of any other committee or any other institution around here. But we will raise it, because it's something that we can raise. I hope that satisfies members.
Yes.
That satisfies members. All right. Let us then try and summarize. Thanks very much, members. Let's summarize. We concluding the meeting. We will do research on all the on all the submissions received as they come. Closing date is 5 o'clock on the 16th, on Thursday. Anything that arrives post 5 o'clock on Thursday, you're probably not going to have sight of, because we've given people 14 days and, as Mr. Waters was saying, in certain instances, 15 days. So our cut-off date is strictly 5 o'clock to be in Cindy's possession or the committee's possession. We will then give you the raw information as we've received it on that 16th, because it's a matter of just emailing it to you. The research unit, including our legal advisors, will then have to start working immediately to give us some sort of a document that says this is what we've picked up from all the submissions. That we make an undertaking that we will give to you by Monday as members, so that you are able to have prior sight of it. Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we will meet and start the process. If necessary, Tuesday afternoon, Thursday morning, no? We'll try Thursday morning. If there's no caucus, Thursday afternoon, the whole day on Friday, Monday. But it'll all be informed by the volume of responses we get by close of business or 5 o'clock on the 16th. Cindy's also indicating that over and above, you'd recall that the legal was going to look at how we craft our recommendation on conflict of interest. Not interest, conflict of evidence. We will also ask, I don't know where is Advocate Vanara, to join you on that matter. So that when we look at it, our recommendation is not a recommendation that's unachievable or outside of the law, because that's clearly something that members have raised. So we will write to the evidence leader to assist you, Honorable Atikari, so that you guys can come up with some advice to us. How do we reduce into writing or into a recommendation matters where there is clear conflict and therefore possible misleading? So if you guys could do that, the research team will do what they need to do. We'll try and give all members all these documents by the end of business on Monday, so that on Tuesday we get down to the real nitty-gritty. And finally, that we will try and get as many minutes as possible between now and the 24th, so that members are not rushed in terms of their recommendations, and that on the 24th, whether we like it or not, we're going to have agreed on our recommendations, because we don't have any leeway beyond the 24th. So members must just be prepared to work until whatever time on the 24th, if necessary. Hopefully we could deal with it before, but if necessary, that is it. So that's the way forward, Honorable Members. There's agreement in principle by all members. And if that is the case, our meeting will then adjourn until 9 o'clock on Tuesday, unless advised otherwise. Thank you very much. Yeah.